you know, where it started from is if you have a dog that's misbehaving, don't shoot it, actually train it. And
that's how you got bit. I don't believe that book.
No, you're standing here with no.
You have a dog bite on your hands.
Longtime fans of the show should be familiar with the lender formerly known as Sue Pullen, and I'm pleased to announce that she's back, fresh off a rebrand and ready to help as Sue Mackey. Sue is a certified mortgage advisor at Fairway Independent Mortgage, an equal housing lender who focuses on finding the right product for you and your needs. She has over 20 years of experience helping thousands of homeowners. Whether it's purchasing, refinancing, or even a reverse mortgage, Sue will help. Sue's licensed in 36 states now, so reach out and let Sue Mackey it happen for you. The best way to reach her is just give her a call at 520-977-7904 or in an email, spullen@fairwaymc.com. Fairway Independent Mortgage has an MLS number of 2289. Sue Mackey has an MLS number of 206048. That email again, spullen@fairwaymc.com. And that phone number is 520-977-7904. Shoot Sue an email and let her know she needs to update that address.
Lowe's knows you want the best for dad. This Father's Day, help him take on any project with big deals on DeWalt. Right now, get a free XR 8 amp hour battery when you buy select DeWalt tools. That's not all. Get up to two free select tools when you buy a select DeWalt 20 volt max battery kit. Maximum initial battery voltage measured without a work load is 20 volts. Nominal voltage is 18.
Disclaimer time. This is where I tell everyone to lighten up. It's just a podcast. Trading is like that roller coaster at the amusement park. Thrilling, unpredictable, and potentially stomach churning. What works for one person might leave another clutching their hat in the wind. Our hosts and guests, they're awesome, knowledgeable, full of insights, but we're not financial advisors. So don't rush to make any investment decisions based solely on our banter. Always consult with a professional or do your own research. Plus, let's face it, we like to have fun, laugh, enjoy the trading ride together. It's all in the name of good podcasting fun. So remember, take it easy, don't bet the farm, and keep your seatbelts on at all times. Thank you for listening.
Hello and welcome to the China Shop, everybody. Get your asses inside. It's fucking Come hot inside. Outside. We're smashing some plates and dinnerware in here. Anything goes today. It's a fire sale. How you doing? I'm Captain Dan. And with me, as always, is the amazing, inimitable Kyle. Kyle, how you doing today?
I'm doing great. What promotion did I get today?
You know what? Kyle just made first bosun's mate. It's a very little-known position on the naval ships, and he's really mainly in charge of polishing the whistles.
How did you...
if you know what I'm saying.
How do you know what a bosun's mate is, first of all? And how'd you know that that would actually be an insult?
You know, Kyle, you know,
he did say polishing
secret.
The whistles.
Polishing the whistles.
Right. I mean, we did a lot of that.
You know, I'm not going to lie, Kyle, it was
a lot of brass.
Holy shit. Yeah, Kyle, I stole your Navy
Surprise
diary,
everybody.
That's how I know.
Right.
Kyle has an announcement. 17 real fast.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're 2 minutes in and we've already covered guy on guy oral. All right, let's keep going.
Welcome back, Dan.
I'm glad I could bring a certain je ne sais quoi to the show tonight.
I was gonna ask what kind of episode we wanted this to be, but I think we've already answered that question. This is just gonna be after hours all the way.
Yeah, back. So,
Kyle, to answer your question, Star Trek. That's how I knew what a bosun is. That a bosun's pipe. No, that's not Star Trek. I don't know.
I think that was
my fucking brain. My drug-addled brain came up with it.
I mean, we're coming in absolutely on fire right now.
All right, well, fucking hey, should we do some announcements first and get that out of the way?
I'm eager to hear them.
All right. I mean, Baba, you got the big one, I think.
Oh, wow, we're just jumping right in, huh?
I mean, should we just jump right in?
Yeah, just skip right to the
Band-Aid.
Yeah, sure. So, you know, it's only fitting that Kyle's here, actually. If you think about the circle of life, right?
You mean Dan?
I mean Dan. Sorry. Oh, God.
I've been here.
Kyle, you've always been here. Dan.
I'll never left.
Dan is here.
And that was
Dan's
really fun.
Dan's here. I'm here. Bear's here. Can we acknowledge? Well, no one that's listening will actually be able to see it, but your background's amazing.
Oh, thank you, dude. Yeah, yeah.
A lot of hard work, I presume, went into that.
Yeah, Laura did a lot of that.
Why am I not surprised?
Right? She's she's the one who sourced it out, so she has a new backsplash behind the stove with the offcuts.
And I was about to say, and well, I didn't know which project actually was leading. You bought that much extra?
No, it didn't take that much. Each sheet was like 10 feet long, and it's only like a 7-foot ceiling, so there's at least 3 feet on each piece.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. Well, the announcement. Okay. Somebody can play the like
taps. I don't know if I have taps on here. Yeah. It's not a taps moment. It's just not a taps moment.
Here's the deal. So we have, if we go all the way back, I guess almost 3 years ago, my good friend and yours, Flary, we started a little project called U-Trade, which was a room where we were putting out some trading content, some like educational material, and trying to kind of create a community around that. And then our good friend Flary one day was like, hey man, I'm kind of out on this. Like, he's the one that started it. And then he was like, I just would like to take a step back. And so Banks and I were like, we're the other two people doing that with him. And he was like, hey, why don't you guys just pick up and run with this? I was like, that's fine. But like, we'll rebrand this, do our own thing, whatever. So we kind of cooked up a vision, kind of an idea of what we wanted to help people accomplish. And that's how we started Vanta Trading, however you want to say it. And that was like almost 2 years ago, I guess. And when that kicked off, it's been a while. And so then the kind of most people that are listening to this probably know, but just for the sake of like whatever, I mean, we just over here just hanging out anyways. So, you know, the gist of that was like, hey, we'll trade together like in the mornings. We'll do some like town hall open forum discussions. I'll do some longer form content on some of the things that I utilize to trade with. And we'll really try to help. The goal was to expedite people's progress. So you take someone who's trading, who's kind of hitting the same hurdles as everyone else. Let's try to expedite that process for them to get where they're trying to get to, which usually is some measure of profitability, by helping them avoid some of the common mistakes and also some of the like reoccurring issues that a lot of people experience, because we, myself and Banks, have both been through that. And I lost, you know, a lot of money and traded like poo for a long time, and finally got, you know, got it all somewhat sorted. And so we just thought, oh, that'd be great. And it'll be a definite, it'll kind of fly in the face of like the flashy Lambo lifestyle kind of vibes that most people that do this try to do. Cause I'm a regular guy with a normal family and a normal house, and I drive a Toyota Tundra, not a Lamborghini. And, you know, my daughter says Lamborghini, by the way, not Lamborghini. So
it's a horse.
she's five. And anyways, so it's not like the room was a failure necessarily. There were some positives from that. There have been some positives from that. But I am finding myself a little bit conflicted, because I feel like there's an expectation for me to provide, you know, content, information, to be available. And I also feel the desire to take full advantage of the flexibility and freedom that this whole thing affords me, not the room, but like my trading. And so it has come to, it's just, I feel like people that are paying deserve more of like my time and effort and energy. And I don't feel like I want to give any more of that, to be honest. I've greatly enjoyed like our one-on-ones with traders, where they fill out the trader eval, like that worksheet, that 8-page document. And then we review that with them. And like, I think that has been really profitable. I think I had dreamed that like somehow that would grow into like longer relationships, but there was no strings attached. So a lot of those were like 1 to 2 touch points. And then that person is, you know, doing their own thing, which is fine. Like we were just, we did that for free for anyone. But, yeah, just, you know, it's kind of like, what do I want to really sink my teeth into over the next 6 months to a year? And I don't think like marketing and doing trade videos with cool music behind them, like I've done a little bit, and it makes me want to die. Like, I'm not into that. And I'd much rather just be on a call with a couple people. I enjoy their company and I appreciate their perspective. And every so often we'll all, you know, be on together, but no one's looking to me to like, oh, he's not going to be there. Then I got to text somebody and try to get them to cover because I'm actually going to go like all the school. Like, I don't want to feel guilty for going to all these award ceremonies for my five children, which that's a lot of award ceremonies. Or like when we had like Special Olympics for my son. I mean, there's just a lot of things that I want to go do and not think anything about, like trying to work stuff out. And then we're coming into the summer, you know, and I want to be able to have that freedom. And so we're going to officially, like, we've already paused memberships, but we're going to officially like close that paid side. We'll still have a room. It'll still be like my home base. I'll still be on some amount of time to hang out and trade.
No more commitment.
But the commitment of like every morning, 9:15, I'm going to get on, do pre-market work, and then I'm going to trade for 2 hours with everyone, which hasn't really happened as much in the last month as probably people would expect. I just feel like it's time. I'm not unavailable to like talk about stuff. I'm not unavailable to, you know, go over something with someone with regards to their trading or their process. Or, I benefited from people doing that for me. I'm never going to just be like a closed book and not available. But I also don't want to, I would rather that be a more altruistic, you know, venture to just give back in a way than to it be tied to like a room. And I'm just so, the last thing, and then I'll stop talking. I'm so over like the trading influencer, 90% win rate in 5 minutes, all the secrets unlocked. Like, I am too closely associated with that whole world, and I hate it completely. I would like to just reclaim my freedom and also my ability to just say whatever I want about that whole space without being in any way tied to it, because it's a little wonky if I'm like, oh, these guys all suck, they're idiots, and then come join my room, it's better. It's like, I can't really, that's kind of awkward. So
yeah,
definitely like the core group of guys that's in there all the time, there's nothing negative or nothing.
It's not going away. It's not going away.
It's not, yeah.
It's just there's not going to be any more commitments from any of the members.
Look,
right?
The room's not playing a Dan. It's not just disappearing on y'all.
No, it's not gonna just disappear into the sunset.
Once every 6 months, we'll get together.
and we've also kicked around ideas like, on Fridays, like a couple of Fridays, we've had done some like guest trading stuff where we've joined up with other people and traded together, or even like, we join in our room and then give them the floor. They share screen. They talk about their specific process. I think there's a lot of benefit to some of that cross-pollination of process and style that could just be enjoyable, meet other traders. But to like, you know, again, to be, you know, every morning, you know,
to be honest, grinding it out. I've been not wanting to have so much in my ears too lately. I've been kind of struggling with that a little bit. You're just having too many voices in my ears, and I feel like
you should be mainly listening to me.
No, yes, true.
I'm just kidding.
Just mute everybody else except for Baba. That's all you need to do.
Right. And let me. And so I will say this also. My trading. This is not in any way like tied to performance. If I were going to quit because things were not going well, it would have been last January, February, or March things were actually not going well. And it was like, I'm about ready to just break everything at my desk every day. Things have like, this year has been really great actually. And I think the only negative of trading that I would say has slightly influenced this decision has been that there's countless times where I come to the desk only because we have people in the room, because I've already traded either overnight or early AM session, and I would otherwise be completely disengaged from the charts at that point due to where I am in my, you know, my target for the day. And there have been, you know, a number of days that I've stayed at the charts for the morning, and then, you know, random chance, whatever, it's been a terrible morning where we get small rotations, it's grindy, it's not my deal. But I would feel awkward because of the number of times I would come in and be like, well, I'm kind of already done for the day. Like, I feel like that just sound like in the world of like trader guy, that just sounds like a cop out, you know?
Well,
and I didn't like that. So I would come to the desk and I would still try to be a participant in trade. But in my back of my mind, I'm like, why am I even doing this? Like, I'm really already done. And so in that sense, it became hard to model the type of behavior from that standpoint that I typically would model day in and day out. So that was another little piece of it. Like, no one wants to hear me sit down and be like, oh, I've made 500 points a day. I really don't need to do anything else. Like, that just, you know, they're like, oh, well, of course, you know, this guy.
Yeah. Thanks for coming in and bragging right before we're all about to start our day. Yeah.
So that's it. So,
Yeah. Well, like I said, there's going to still be something going in there.
I'm going to
figure out what that looks like as far as how that goes. But there'll probably be some sort of podcast support plan, something where you can join and support the podcast.
Yeah. Uh-huh. We'll definitely have an option for people to, let's say somebody's like, yeah, I'd love to just, I love the podcast. I love hanging out. I'd love to just,
look,
you know.
Still send money.
Yes.
But
yes,
we're not showing up every day. Gotcha.
Exactly. It's just going to be less.
Yeah, don't send as much, but you know. Yeah.
Whatever. I don't know. Kyle's going to figure that out. That's on him. If he can get people to do that, then that's awesome.
No, dude, it'll be like a buck. You join for a buck and then you can, whatever, just something to help pay for the website.
You know, and I do wonder if doing that will actually create like more opportunity for people to engage if we're on the shop side, not behind a paywall, like maybe a little more often, or if like those Fridays don't, or whatever day when we're like, hey, on Tuesday this week, we're going to have, you know, guys from Trade Pro Academy, we're all going to trade together, come join up. Like, since it will be a little less of the same thing all the time, if those won't be a little more special and a little more enjoyable, a little more well attended. More appreciated, that kind of thing. So we'll see. I mean, like I said, I'm not going away, but I'm leaving for vacation on Sunday.
He is going away. Just
I'm going to be gone for a week. So.
Wow.
Wow, man, it's taking a weird turn.
Actually,
why
I'm
is this the show I'm back for? What is happening?
And that's why we have you here tonight, Dan. I'm trying to follow in your footsteps. I'm leaving tonight. I mean, Sunday. I'm coming to meet up with you, big dog.
There you go. Fantastic.
So now that we got the tearjerker announcement
out of
the way.
Now that's off our chest.
I think Bobo was right. You should have played taps. Jeez.
Yeah, that's it. I'm a goner. I'm washed up.
that's what editing is for.
I know. Right?
There you go. There you go.
We'll do it in post.
The saddest thing I have is Ode to Flurry.
Oh.
Oh, God.
You know what someone said, though? What's funny about too is someone said, I hate to hear that the room's going away, but I bet your trading goes up by like 50%. Well, if that's the case, we should have done that a long time ago. We'll see. I'll report back.
That's tough. I mean, you know, what you are doing is basically selling an obligation on your time and really kind of forcing yourself and, you know, painting yourself into a corner. So I'm kind of glad to see you give yourself an opportunity to walk away.
Well, the other thing is just... Do what? Go ahead, Kyle.
It sounded like you're just kind of losing the whole benefit of trading is to have the flexibility. And then now you're married to the screen outside of the time when you... After you've already done the trading that's supposed to free up that time, that can get frustrating too.
I mean, we never set out to do the room to like make tons of money, but like I don't know. It would be in the less than one R. what has been returned, you know, like it's just,
is it on par with FTX?
I don't know FTX, which
that's still too soon, man. Too soon, sorry.
Oh, yeah, FTX, yeah. Come on, that cost me a lot of money and time, Kyle. No, I mean, yeah, it's just like, it's not in the nicest way possible. Unless you're gonna like sell your soul to do that, I just don't know if it's worth it unless you have a really big following. And you know, there's some people that do it right. Like, I think Pax does a great job. I've never been in his room, but I respect him. When I was going full time, he, you know, took time to talk to me. I appreciated that. But yeah, I don't know. It's really just not worth. It's not worth the time at this point. You know. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
One of the things I've learned, I think it's related to this, from Pax, is there's a lot of days where the price action just sucks, and it's not worth trading. And literally the best thing you can tell people to do is turn off your freaking computer and like today.
Today was kind of a banger, honestly.
Yeah, I mean the opening was interesting, and then we just sat there and did nothing for an hour and a half, and then it was like, oh, news. All right, yay, VIX is great again.
Yeah.
But yeah. And then the close was just like, what the F is going on?
What happened? I didn't even see the close.
I was playing golf. I have no idea what the close did.
Yeah,
I think I quit watching after about 1 o'clock.
That was a smart thing to do.
Dan, what were you about to say?
Yeah,
there?
I was going to say I'm not trading anymore actively. I'm doing the get rich slow, like investment.
Yeah.
Slow building. And I found I was forcing myself to get up really early because I'm in Nevada. So I was like waking up stupid early to try and get the bell. I was
the 6:30 a.m. bell.
Right. And I was making dumb mistakes. And then I would like shit on myself mentally for not performing up to expectations, because in completely sidestepping the fact that, like, I mean, who, you don't perform well when you're fucking half awake.
unless you're Purdue.
unless you're Purdue, right? Not everybody's there. So maybe some people it helps them. For me, it wasn't. But just like finally accepting, like, Dan, you're not A, in the geographic location that's going to be good for your market opening strategy, right? I was doing the high low of the overnight. And B, like, my heart wasn't in it. Like Baba's saying today, like, he's finding his family is starting to take over his thoughts more than the trading room. Like, right? I got married. I'm in Vegas. I'm having fun. My heart wasn't in it anymore. Yeah. And, like, I don't know if I'll ever get back to day trading again, but I'm honestly a lot happier in my life not trying to push myself to day trade because of, oh, well, we got a podcast, so I gotta keep up on the trading.
Yeah, right?
Better do it, right? Like, without that around anymore, like, yeah, I think it was a big win, and my portfolio has been growing steadily instead of, I was never great at it, right? It'd be up and then down and then up and then down and up and then, the roller coaster is over, everybody, for me.
Yeah, you said swing trading though? You found more success with that? Is that more to your...
No, I have more success with passive, just buy it and forget. Mm-hmm. Every time I've swing traded, it starts out really great. And then I'm like, and then I get back to that same greedy mentality that tanked my day trading. And I'm like, oh, I know what I'm doing now. I don't have to research. I don't have to use a bracket. Brackets are for fucking suckers. Oh, no. I'm going to buy me some triple Q puts. Yeah, no. Right. And I found myself making all the same stupid mistakes the minute I start making money again, swing trading. So I had to take a step back and be like, Dan, what the fuck are you doing? You know what works for you? Just fucking put the money in and buy your set of stocks, right? Like, go ahead, buy your Rocket Labs. But, you know, I got my bundle of stocks that I like that I did some research way back when and then forgot about. ETFs are probably safest, but you know, that get rich slow has been working for me, and I'm a lot, and I feel better about myself doing it too. Like the highs and lows, like, I could never get past the negative self-talk.
That is one of the hardest things about this game is I think, Baba is the first person to really point out to me, like, the toll that even if you have a 40% win rate, which is, you know, pretty good for day trader, that means you're still wrong 60% of the time. And that takes a pretty hard toll on you mentally.
Yeah.
Yeah. The swinger lifestyle is a little easier. But not nearly as easy as the buy and hold.
Right.
Yeah. Buy it. And now that's the advice I give people when I talk to them. I'm like, just buy and hold. Just stop killing yourself. I've got one of my employees is really, really into trading, and I catch him with his Robinhood app open all the time. And all I do is he'll start talking and talking and talking. I'm like, yeah, good luck, man. Good luck.
Ninety-five percent of people don't have the personality to have the patience to learn trading.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it was really hard for me to accept that I don't think I have the personality to be long-term successfully at day trading, right? Like, it's really hard to admit. I feel like the kid on the playground who's like, finally has to admit, you know what, Dan? You're not good enough at basketball to beat the fucking other team from the other school when they come over. Like, you need to fucking sit on the sidelines and be a cheerleader, because if you're the fucking point guard, you're going to miss that three every fucking time you're in the clutch.
You and I are 5'8". We are not making JV.
Right. I'm just not the guy.
If there's a StarCraft league, I think we would have killed that.
You will fear my sword brush. Right.
He's on zone.
Bear, what happened to your arm?
Oh, that's a fun story. I was working with a rescue dog last night, and I earned it. I was trying to catch the rescue dog that got away, and it went running past me, and I instinctively tried to grab it, and it said, "Oh, no, don't do that." It's like as the dog's like coming at me, I like go to grab it, and I'm like, I feel the, oh, this is really dumb. Oh, yeah, that was dumb.
Ooh, how many stitches?
No stitches.
Okay, that's not too bad.
No stitches. Yeah, I was just a couple hours ago, I actually went into the hospital and, you know, let the doctors look at it, and they're like, okay, yeah, we're gonna wash it out.
That doesn't get the dog in trouble, does it?
Not really. I have to quarantine the dog for 10 days. Okay. So
I know a lot of times
I would have just told them my wife did it.
I don't know.
That's a different kind of police report.
Shit got out of hand, man.
So the fun part about living in a small county is, you know, there's like 20 deputies, and I know pretty much all of them because of my work in fire and EMS. And so, you know, I had to call. Okay. Quick, long story short. So I've got this situation. I didn't sleep last night because my, you know, arm got chomped on and it hurt like mother trucker. Did not sleep, you know, got up at 3 a.m. because the wound was still oozing, and wrapped it up tight and went back to bed, got a few hours of sleep. So get through my morning meetings with the office, and I'm like, hey, guys, I'm going to the fucking hospital. So I walk down to water the chickens before I go to the hospital, because I don't know how long I'm going to be gone. And, you know, it's hot out.
Yeah.
And there's two strange dogs in my chicken pen, and my chickens are all dead.
What?
I'm like,
No more free eggs.
No. I'm like, these were baby chicks. They were good two, three months from being able to lay eggs. So, you know, now I'm starting to deal with that. You know, I call back the Humane Society, who I've been working with, you know them well too. And they're like, yeah, you have to call the sheriff's office so the deputy can come out and come report, and then we'll try to figure out and ID the dog. So, you know, the deputy comes out, and it's like, how's it going, blah blah blah, you know, we know each other. And it's like, yeah, okay, cool. And so we get the information on the dogs, do the report, and he's looking at my arm, and I'm like yeah. And it goes, you know, this is what happened, blah blah blah. And I was like, you know, I'm headed over to the local hospital. And he goes, oh, well, you know, they'll have to call me to do a report. I'm like, yeah, I know, I'll send you a text message when I'm on the way. He's like, okay. So
how many people are in the town that you live in?
Yeah,
there?
Right, yeah.
200.
Well, I don't live in. I'm 4 miles outside of town now. Town is like 600 people.
Wow. There's, okay.
There's 10,000 people in the whole county.
Wait, okay. Where in Montana are you at again? Dan, do you remember we drove through Montana?
We did.
When I was moving from Seattle to Virginia.
Yeah, yes. you wouldn't have driven through my county unless you were going to Yellowstone.
We were supposed to, but it was dark when we went through, so we just kept going. We ended up just
We were
going to
hit Yellowstone, but it was at night. Yeah,
we were going to do the Badlands. We were going to do Cedar Point. Oh, we were going to do all kinds of stuff, and then everywhere we got, it was dark, so we just kept going. I think we did the drive in 42 hours.
Well, then eventually it became like, wait, how fast can we drive coast to coast? We're doing this. Let's fucking do this. Let's do it.
By the end, there was like every 2 hours we're having to stop to swap out to sleep.
I mean, when I moved from Virginia back to Montana, it took 4 trips pulling a 16-foot trailer.
4 trips. That is a brutal.
And it's 2,000 miles almost exactly from where I was at in Virginia to central Montana, and I had it down to 48 hours. You know, it's like you know, basically.
By yourself?
Yeah, by myself. Yeah. I would drive, you know, I'd do fuel stops and I would drive and I knew which rest stops I liked. And basically it's like when I got tired, I just slide into a rest stop, curl up in the back seat of the truck, take a nap for 2, 4, 6 hours, get up and start driving again.
I don't think my neck can handle that anymore. I can't sleep in a rest stop like
that. It was a full size truck. I stretched out pretty good. I'm short.
Right. Bobby, you're not a driver? Don't like the driving trips?
I'd rather drive than fly most of the times, but dude, there's no way I would make 4 of the same 2,000 mile trip
in a truck. Yeah, no thank
miles
you.
Miles each way. No, thank you. Pulling a 16-foot trailer.
Yeah,
no. Thank you.
You drive there,
not so bad when it's empty.
Drive there, drive back, do an oil change. Drive there, drive back, do an oil change.
Yeah.
Diesel. Diesel. I didn't change the oil until I was done.
There's no chance. I wouldn't do that.
Dan, Bob has been sending me pictures of Chris Delilah asking me if that's you.
Oh my god.
It looks
okay.
So much like you. Oh my, I wish it was a All different right. person though.
So I'm doing shows again here in Vegas. Like
Are you?
So I do shows every weekend. Yeah, I'm the Mad Hatter in an Alice in Wonderland show.
Nice.
And I've been getting it's weird. I'm a type. And so people are like, oh my God, you look like Chris D'Elia. Oh my God, you look like that guy, Jake Johnson from New Girl. Oh my God, you look like, what the fuck? There's this other guy, I can't remember, he's not a big name. And then just the other day, somebody told me the guy from the Monkees, fucking Davy Jones, was like, stop it. I don't look like any of these people. But actually, I agree with you.
Wow.
Chris D'Elia, I actually see the resemblance. I see him, and I was like, is that guy one of my brothers? Holy shit.
I was trying to deny it, but it looks...
Listen, I don't care how anybody feels about him. We're all adults here. All right. I don't know, man. Some of the mannerisms, your smile is massive, and so is his.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Awesome. It's the exact same, dude. And then you just... I've always felt like all the way back to the Two Bull days, like the Kyle, I mean the Dan, like wah! Like the just the explosion of like whatever comes out, it's unbelievable. And it's so similar. Like I could see you doing that, like someone interrupting you and just being like, oops, oops. Like, see, I was saying a sentence that wasn't finished yet. Like that's, I mean, I don't know you that well, but God, I feel like you would just murder someone.
Well, thank you. So. I think.
Yeah. So they teach you in improv class how to riff with that one. That's the thing I've never learned is how to take a compliment in stride.
How to take a compliment in stride.
Yeah.
I mean, shit. Taking a compliment in stride. It's just like anything with improv. It's just yes ending. You accept the compliment and then you top it with something ridiculous.
Like how much better you are at everything else.
if you want to build your ego, I think it works a lot better if you're more self-deprecating. Absolutely.
More British style. Yeah.
Look at like Dean Martin back in the day.
Toast of London. What was that guy? Matt Berry. That's the other one.
Oh, I love that guy.
I feel like Matt Berry.
Shit. I was just saying, I got accused of, somebody else said, you look and sound like Matt Berry. She was actually like an Instagram influencer, and she was like, I really need to get you doing some Matt Berry quotes. So out there on Instagram and TikTok somewhere is me going, why, yes, my name is Jackie Daytona. I'm from Tucson, Arizona. I'm just a normal human bartender.
But that dude weighs like 100 pounds more than he does.
Look at his career path. He was a musician for years. That song that you hear on TikTok all the time, the Take My Hand one, that's his song. That guy did that.
Yeah. Matt Berry. No, I'm about to go into corporate speaking, Kyle. I'm not going to be on TV.
History isn't just boring names and dates. It's weird, messy, and full of what-were-they-thinking moments. The Buck Starts Here dives into the financial fiascos, questionable deals, and outright chaos that helped build America, $1 at a time. We mix in serious history from a fresh perspective, real, deep dives into the numbers and the moments that shaped the country, without the boring lecture. From presidential blunders to almost states, and the time an international war almost started over a pig, we break down the key events that made, and nearly broke, the nation. It's the fascinating untold history you won't find in the textbooks. Subscribe to the Buck Starts Here podcast for a deeper look at presidential history that's anything but dull.
Longtime fans of the show should be familiar with the lender formerly known as Sue Pullen, and I'm pleased to announce that she's back, fresh off a rebrand and ready to help as Sue Mackey. Sue is a certified mortgage advisor at Fairway Independent Mortgage, an equal housing lender who focuses on finding the right product for you and your needs. She has over 20 years of experience helping thousands of homeowners. Whether it's purchasing, refinancing, or even a reverse mortgage, Sue will help. Sue's licensed in 36 states now, so reach out and let Sue Mackey it happen for you. The best way to reach her is just give her a call at 520-977-7904 or in an email, spullen@fairwaymc.com. Fairway Independent Mortgage has an MLS number of 2289. Sue Mackey has an MLS number of 206048. That email again, spullen@fairwaymc.com. And that phone number is 520-977-7904. Shoot Sue an email and let her know she needs to update that address.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Corporate speaker.
I'm gonna be a corporate speaker. I'm not even kidding you. Absolutely. Really?
Oh, dude. Absolutely. I can get lost for hours watching clips on X or, you know, the few Netflix specials is Matt Rife.
Matt Rife? I don't think I've heard of him.
Oh, I like digested him, and now I feel like he just does the same thing over and over. It's like kind of one trick. I thought he was funny at first.
Oh,
he's funny.
He works the audience. Like every show is completely different because he just picks random audience members and it's all crowd work.
Is it good at like Jimmy Carr or
just we're riffing on improv and some of that and taking a compliment and stuff. Matt Rife. Yeah.
Jinx. Like rifle, but without the L.
Yes.
There you go.
Okay.
Oh, he's a pretty dude.
And like doormat, but an extra T. He's like Evangelina Jolie was a guy. Oh. Am I wrong? Chest? Come on.
No, you're right.
Flat chested in flannels? Yeah.
Damn.
That sounds like a calendar that needs to be made.
Evangelina Jolie in flannels?
Oh God! You should see.
Not Angelina Jolie in flannel. Just flat chested in flannel. That's
you should see the calendar that Ray sent me. It's it's Baron von Buff is the guy's name. It's some character this guy made. He's a local artist, and he just draws this character of this dude just shirtless and like weird poses. And the whole calendar is full of like random holidays. Like Sunday is National Hug a Cat Day. I think was the one I remember seeing. It's just like 365 days of that.
Oh my.
Actually, we We got Ray coming back on Buck Starts Here on, I think, Wednesday. We're supposed to record with her. We're doing another presidential portrait episode with her.
Yeah?
Yeah. She is phenomenal. I opened last Discord. Time we had her on.
She's fucking great, man. Ah, Ray.
I had listened to her and you did that one episode with her.
That was
way back when.
Way back. The conspiracy shit I was trying to start. It didn't work out. Yeah. Yeah. She's amazing. Yeah. Anytime you get Ray talking, it's a good time.
Are you going to bring back Half Cocktails ever?
Yes. Yes, I very much. Well, I might. What I've been trying to do is set it up. I'm going to focus on fact checking time as like a game show. And I'm going to kind of do it as a man on the street on the Vegas Strip.
You got to be careful with that stuff these days, though. Klepper has to have bodyguards now. I don't know if you've the guy from The Daily Show that does all the MAGA events.
Yeah, but I'm not trying to be insightful. I really want a middle of the road game show, right? Like,
No, I'm just kidding.
Hey, I don't think fact checking time is boring.
I loved it when I was playing it.
The trick is you just stay away from the political fact checks.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Like, that's all. Yeah, I want to bring that back. But honestly, right now I'm setting up my new website. I'm gonna do corporate speaking to teach improv as customer service.
Interesting. Right?
It's what I teach my crew here in Vegas, and it works really well. And it just comes from like, hey, Dan, how did you climb the ladder so well in your own career? And it was like, oh, being really good at customer service in hotels. And like, how did I do that? Well, it's basically improv, right? Like, yeah. So I'm setting up, I'm going to start charging businesses a stupid amount of money to have me come in and teach their
isn't that
their
the way, man?
How businesses, to do customer service.
They're the ones that
they
have
got
all the money.
Money now. I got all the money. So I'm going where the money is.
Right. Dude, that's amazing, dude. That's awesome.
A lady I work with sees me work these rooms as the Mad Hatter, and she's like, hey, a friend of mine is a corporate speaker. Let me show you his videos. And he was pretty funny, but she's like, you're way funnier than this guy. I was like, oh, all right. Yeah, why not? Let's do it. So, you know, that's coming out. I'm writing a book, you know, like everybody does. And so I can sell the book to the people. Yeah, it's almost done.
No kidding.
Yeah, wow. Service. I don't know how this became me plugging my shit. Service Unscripted is what it's called.
I love it.
Using improv and customer service.
Service
what's
what?
It called?
Service Unscripted, using improv and for customer service.
You're going to send me a copy, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Thank you can buy it on Amazon.
Yeah.
All that Discord room.
available now. Well, see, that's just it. Is I don't want people out there to go buy it. I want the company that's hiring me as a speaker to buy 500 copies to give to their employees.
Yeah, yep. Exactly.
That's what I want.
That's the real game.
I don't care if you buy it. Yeah. Put a little bit of thought to this.
My plan is starting to come together.
So what book can we write? What sequel can we ghostwrite for you so we can get in on this?
Oh, shit.
I feel like the book writing is the thing, huh?
Using improv to trade stock futures.
Yes, anding the market. Took my stuff. Yes, and.
Yes, and may I have some more?
Yes, and may I have another?
There's more where that came from. Oh, you took one stop. Watch this. I'll give you another one.
Yes.
principal detention, I mean.
I actually do have a legit trading book or legit book to recommend for trading.
Yeah.
So this came from Sean called
Don't Shoot the Dog.
The Art of Teaching and Training, The Secrets of Changing Behavior in Pets, Kids, and Yourself.
Oh,
so it's literally if you have a dog that's where it started from is if you have a dog that's misbehaving, don't shoot it, actually train it. And
that's how you got bit. I don't believe that book.
No.
You have a dog bite on your hands.
All right, I bought this book a few weeks ago when I was dealing with my dog that was biting people.
Oh my God.
But yes.
Oh, that wasn't your dog. That's right. It was a random.
Yeah. But
okay,
no, so
you're off the hook.
Legit, just don't
shoot your own dog. Shoot everybody else's.
Oh, yeah. But no, legit. She started working professionally as a dolphin trainer. And training dolphins is really interesting because you can't punish dolphins. The only thing you can do is reward them. You can't hit them. You can't yell at them. You know, the only thing you can do is reward them. So you have to learn how to train them through positive reinforcement only. And
I'm not doing that with my kids. They suck enough as it is.
It's a really interesting study that was done by the Israelis, I think it was, when they're measuring the performance of their fighter pilots.
No political.
This is not political. This is all has to do with positive reinforcement, and where the study came from is they misunderstood reversion to the mean, the concept of that. So they drew the incorrect conclusion that positive reinforcement leads to poor performance following up from that. And they drew the conclusion that tough love was better. But what they really didn't understand was that when you're positively reinforcing someone for performing above their average, they're more likely to perform at their average the next time. So it just seems like a drop in performance.
And they also didn't know the bit about doing random reinforcements, random intermittent rewards.
I've never heard of that one.
Oh, random
intermittent rewards. Yeah, tell me more about that.
Really key around behavior training. So if you don't reward a behavior every time. When you first start to establish a behavior, you reward it every time. But then you just start randomly, you know, like every fifth time, okay, we'll reward it. Oh, okay, you did 10 perfect jumps in a row. Okay, cool, we'll reward that one. Or you did 13 jumps, and this one was the highest of them all. We'll reward that one.
Right.
And so this all comes from Skinner. Remember your high school, college psychology stuff? Skinner. Yeah, B.F. Skinner. And so what they learned is that if you reward every time and you just build this behavior, so this was like, you know, dogs or cats, you know, pressing a button and they get a reward, or monkeys. Well, the moment you don't get a reward, they kind of stop pressing. But if you start doing random intermittent rewards, they'll hit that button 1,000 times hoping for that one. That's how slot machines work. Oh. Random intermittent rewards is what gets you addicted to slot machines. Random intermittent rewards can get you addicted to gambling through trading. And
what got me addicted.
There's a lot of similarities in there that you have to be really careful about. But what's really relevant going into the book, what she talks about is that if you want to learn a new skill, or you want, you know, either you learn your own new skill, you want to teach another person or an animal a new skill, it's really critical that you only do one thing at a time. So think about futures trading. You know, you've got to work on your entries. You've got to work on your exits, your setups, your stops. You know, how do you take profit? Where do you take profit? And the problem is there's too many variables. You can't learn it.
That explains why the trading drills are so big.
When you listen to a lot of the old school traders, how they learned, especially the ones that went to work for the big investment banks, they were shoved in a room. And for 2 months, all they did was inner stop. And, you know, and their goal was, 2 year flippers talked about, you know, he did like 2 months of training where his goal was to be flat every day.
Yeah.
And so you go through that, you build that muscle memory so that you can get in a trade. And the second it goes against you, flatten out and have no emotion. You're not attached to that trade. You just learn that. You learn that process. And then once you've got that part down, then you can start to learn into, okay, we got into that trade. As soon as it moved away from our price, we've got our stop in. Okay, cool. Now we're going to work on, let's build waiting for our target. And then once we've got that behavior down, that we know how to enter the trade, we know how to stop it, and then we know how to wait for our target, then we can start to learn, okay, let's move our target here, and start to learn some of the nuances about where to place our targets. And that way you can learn these things sequentially in a more productive manner rather than trying to haphazardly learn them all at the same time.
See, when I try to bake a cake, I just throw everything into the pot all at once and just try to mix it together as fast as possible.
It's just not working.
You're saying that? No, I mean, I get something.
You will get something.
Something came out of it.
Edible? No one wants to eat it.
But depends on how you define edible.
All right. Sorry, I got all serious there.
No, that was good. We actually discussed something trading related. Check that off the box. This doesn't have to be an after hours.
Box check. All right. Back to hilarity.
Oh, Fuck, Hilarity on Demand. Go.
Improv?
Oh,
Conway,
wow.
Twitter, play us off.
Improv.
I think we have to fall back to our senior bosun's mate.
Right. Oh, God damn it. Don't you dare.
Oh, yeah. God
damn. It's a fucking nuke, dude. I did more than tie fucking knots.
God. Okay. Hey, did I ever tell you about the time Kyle and I used to share an apartment, and I opened the door and there he was, like, and I was like, Kyle, and he's like, shut the door, and I'm like, dude, get inside.
Dude, what's wrong with that patio? It was awesome, man. It was sunken in. Nobody could see. You could make eye contact with every neighbor that walks by.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, God.
Oh, my gosh. Where is this going to go on? Where is this going to be
the only,
filed?
That's
this
the only joke I know. And when it comes to a joke that's preformed, that's the only one I know.
He's been sitting on that one for
it from
4 years.
4 years.
Oh, God. Like, my favorite one from my school days was, you know, someday I really hope to die peacefully in my sleep, like my grandfather, not screaming and crying like the passengers in his car.
Oh, God. Exactly. All right. Hey, I've got a nice clean one for you. Why did the fish blush? Because it saw the ocean's bottom.
Nah. My daughter would love that, actually.
Yeah,
I'm, no. I'm actually, I'm going to write
like,
that down.
Dad made that up. Dad made that
Baba,
up.
Here, this, tell her this one after that. What's sticky and brown? A stick.
God damn you.
She should like that one.
Noted.
All right. What else we got? When are we going to get Banks on here? We need to hear the story of this tornado.
This is true. Oh, yeah. I don't know. I don't know.
Is Banks in a tornado?
Yeah, he was golfing. He said they thought about hanging out under a tree, then decided, yeah, maybe we should go into the shelter. And then the tornado hit across the street from them, I think.
Yeah, it was actually insane. Yeah.
In St. Louis, yeah.
I mean, what, like 14 people died or something? I mean, it was,
is up to that now?
It's just very,
that's fucking deadly.
It's the big one that hit St. Louis not too long ago. And then Baba was in a hurricane, like, 6 months ago? You were in that one in South Carolina, the one that hit Asheville?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it was wild.
Yeah, we had like this whole disaster show like going on. We had reporting on like every major thing that was going on.
Yeah, we were all just living through it. I mean, it was like 2 weeks. Like, I mean, it was like 10 days, no power or something like that. It was wild, man.
Right.
We were living like homesteaders out here. I loved it. Actually, I loved it. It was wild.
Did they get the road fixed to your dad's house yet?
My in-laws, not really.
Damn.
Were you doing Little Baba on the Prairie?
Yeah, Little Baba and Little Baba is all five of them. Dude, everybody, they were like washing. I mean, no joke. I think I posted pictures. I don't think I still have them. Probably on my phone, but like we washed clothes in like buckets in the drive, like outside of the garage with like sticks and like rinsed them in the hose. And I hung a cord up in between the deck and the a tree.
Old school.
And we hung all the clothes up to dry. I mean, it was insane, dude. It was it was like you know, like for my personality, I love like a good challenge. Like I love to, you know, problem solve something. And so when that was all happening, yeah, like there's two options. Like, oh, just we're gonna stay at home and be afraid and cry and like everyone's just, you know, in peril, or like I can figure out a way to make like to as best I can to like mitigate these circumstances for my crew, you know, and the people close to me, my neighbors, people across the way.
There's a third option of looting, but you can skip that one.
Yeah, well, I'm probably not gonna do it. Probably not gonna pull that. But so, dude, there were some. I mean, like, yeah, my wife was nervous about the whole thing. I wasn't, and then when it happened, I was like, holy! When the tree fell on our house, I was like, all right,
yeah,
this is pretty serious. And then this of course, real. Like, yeah, we go outside shortly thereafter, and like it just looks like. It looks like a bomb went off. You know, that's what everyone always says. But, like, it was crazy, dude. So, we're, like, I'm, like, I had this whole, pattern I figured out that if I, like, the gas stations didn't have gas. But If you like, there's one close to us. If I got up, I woke up one day randomly, like 4:30 or 5 in the morning. And I was like, well, I wonder if the gas stations have gas right now. So I like loaded up my cans, drove my car, no line, no one there, and just the workers.
I cannot believe that worked.
I filled everything up. I come back. I'm like, all right, if this works today, then like in 3 or 4 days when we need more fuel for the generator, I'll just try that again. So I had this like every other day I would go get like just 5 gallons. So I always had an extra chunk of gas. But it was always at like 5 in the morning. It was like my little routine. I would come back, get everything ready, fire up the grill, cook breakfast on the grill, invite the neighbors over because we have some one specific neighbor is pretty elderly, and we like really – now he's like the grandpa across the street. Like my kids just – he ate like for 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks. He ate every meal with us, like breakfast, lunch, and dinner. It was unbelievable. That's so there was awesome. Some really cool like community that. Stuff yeah, that happened for us. And, like, but yeah, it was a wild. But I love that. Like, I told my wife when like everything got back to normal, I was like, God, this kind of sucks. Like, you want to like load up and like go homestead somewhere?
No. How close are you to like the Appalachians? Because there's some you can get some places to homestead.
Oh there, man, maybe. I could be to some like 30 minutes. We could be like in a. As they say down here, we could be in a holler somewhere that no one would find us.
I read a nice article a few years back written by a neuroscientist who went camping with a bunch of other neuroscientists and neuropsychologists. And they found themselves, after camping for a bit, that their perception of time shifted and slowed down. And I don't know if that's what it was like for you, but I can imagine like the stress of trying to go back into a world where nothing stops. Like you're living in this world where like you're forced to stop. You're forced to slow down and be like, what are you going to do? There is chaos and destruction. You have to wait for it to be rebuilt and turned back on. And then all of a sudden, like now it's just like, hey, it's all back on. Hop to it.
That was weird. And what's weird about that too is, like, where my wife's parents live, was definitely hit much harder than where we are. But it's only like 45 minutes away. So even now, like, there's temporary bridges, one lane roads, bridges that are still out. Like people's whose homes washed away haven't been rebuilt. Like. It's for them, for a lot of people, the kind of burden of this is extended deep into like their life to where it's like now it's part of normal. Like, yes, they have power and water and stuff like that, but like life and even just their like the view from their home and like driving to their house or whatever, like everything is just different. It's been the same for, you know, 80 years for these people, and now everything is different. It still looks like a construction zone everywhere. It's a nightmare. So there is something about the way that it ended for us, but for them, it just still lingers. I think that takes, that eventually that starts to take a toll, I think, especially like they're in their 80s. Like,
are you still needing to dole out supplies from the cash that Larry gave you, or have you gone through all those finally?
Oh, no, dude. We made like two, well, we made some like what we called like drip deliveries. So he sent like an 18-wheeler full of stuff, him and his partner up there, like a business partner. And we would take like a couple truckloads at a time at one point everyone was like really overwhelmed with supplies. That was like almost a problem. Like, where do we put all this stuff?
Yeah, yeah.
And distribution was the challenge. And then, so we like very targetedly delivered like only things that we knew people needed to the people that needed them, like take your truck and take it there. So we did that for probably 3 months, and then 4 months maybe. And then like the inflow of stuff started to wane a little bit. And so then we found a couple of places who had some bigger needs, and we took like big U-Haul trucks, you know? Like, nice. Crammed a U-Haul truck, put like 6 pallets in there, take that. We did like 2 or 3 of those. I have a local buddy of mine who's a business owner, and like took a bunch of his guys and like they just loaded with forklifts, like loaded a bunch of pallets and a bunch of trucks, and we had some specific spots to take those bigger loads. But at this point, like supplies and stuff like that, it's not really like that massive burden anymore. But it's more we raised some money for them. It was like a need for transportation to get supplies to people. So I had very little to do with this. I mean, a little bit, but like a bunch of guys put a bunch of money together and bought a side-by-side four-wheel drive ATV with like a big bed. I don't remember the brand or style. Got a great deal from a local supplier and then delivered that to the community church, like right in the middle of that town that was hit so bad. Like we gave it to them. And they use that to drive stuff to people that are on these roads that are too messed up for like normal vehicles and stuff. So there's like that's actually a really cool like continuation of some of the stuff that's going on. And then a lot of the money that we raised and that other people raised was put into a fund that they're managing to help people with their rebuilding process. Because what's really sad is like a lot of insurance, like a lot of people experience difficulty with insurance covering stuff. And so you have regular people who now have for the winter just stayed with family because their house was destroyed and it was too cold and nasty to work on. Now in the spring are coming back and they're having to tear their house down and rebuild it. And so you can spend $15,000 having your house demolished, or this money that was donated that was like stewarded really well is now like set aside to help offset the cost of
Oh dude, that's amazing. Of
having some of that stuff done. So there's still really cool stuff going on there. All of that to say, like their situation, it continued. For us though, Dan, it was like this hard stop. It was like, now we have internet power, everything's back to normal for the most part. And trying to I told my wife, like, I don't want to lose some of the sense of like what life was like during that time, the connection to the people mm-hmm. around us, like the pace of life for us, like the pace of life was really sweet. And, you know, we weren't on our electronics, you know, kids downstairs doing whatever, like we're all together mm-hmm. doing a thing, like trying to fix something or trying to clean something out or trying to, you know, like there were all these jobs that we all had to do stuff. And so
it's awesome everyone chipped in too. It wasn't just like mama and papa trying to get everything done. It sounds like all the kids were pitching in.
Oh, dude. It was awesome. I mean, Joe, yeah. She's five, dude. She's out there with like a broom handle, like, you know, sloshing the stuff, you know. I was like, dude, this is like a movie. Like, what are we living dude, this I mean, crazy
that,
life?
You can't replace all the things your kids have learned in that process.
Yeah.
Off topic here, but I met Joe on a call that Bob and I were doing one. It was like, what, maybe 6 months ago or longer?
It's been a while. She still talks about it.
She came out with a little wand and she's playing with this wand and she's trying to, I think, she wanted to turn me into a worm. Yep. I had my OBS up, so I put a picture of a worm on there. When she waved the wand, I flipped my background to switch my image to that.
Dude, blew her mind, bro. Blew her mind.
Wow. I fucking wormed him. I knew I had the magic.
She got him. Yeah, it was that's cool. Yeah, so, and I think like, I think they probably did. You know what I think some of the things I hope they took away from that is like, when stuff is difficult, like when things get hard like that, you know, you do have like our family perspective could be like just me and mine, and we build a wall around ourselves. Shout out Trump. And like we just take care of just us. And we're very inward focused, right? But during that time for us, there was the kind of opposite, like what we didn't necessarily intentionally model, but in retrospect kind of modeled, was like that the people around you are valuable and like mm-hmm. we have to care for them because we have more, maybe we have more means or we have more strength or we have more capacity to like, and so we can, even in a moment where we feel like we have needs, we can still give like and help the people around us.
The other really cool thing take away from that too is just knowing that when the shit gets like hits the fan and gets tough, like, you know, your family knows that they can step up, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
you don't
have
to fear a life changing event anymore because you know how you're going to react.
I hope so. I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
And in those times, and this is why I still have faith in humanity, because in those times, nobody's checking your political affiliation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? We're all humans trying to get through this together. And mm-hmm. I still have hope that we'll figure out that that's what we need to be doing, like on a global scale. I hope it doesn't take aliens attacking to get there, but you know,
it worked on Independence Day
to get there. Right? With the Watchmen.
Yeah. And honestly, that's, you know, when I moved into this county and became a part of this community, it was so refreshing because I'd come from, you know, all these different, you know, big city backgrounds. And it's like to actually move into a community where people know each other and help each other, like Bob was talking about, it was just so refreshing. And I just love it. I love that. Yeah. You know, I call the sheriff's office. I know the person on the other side of the phone. I walk into the hospital. It's like, oh, hey, there's my doctor. Oh, I know the other doctor.
You know,
I know this deputy. But we all work together.
Yeah. When people get to be anonymous, that's when they can be shitty. I spent a year in a small town in Colorado, and that was the beauty of the small town. I mean, they were still assholes, right?
Yeah.
Like in the small town, it's still like, that guy's a drunk, that guy's an asshole.
Right there. It's a giant asshole.
I'm an asshole. But, I mean,
but there's no anonymity, so. Yeah. Most people fucking behave and treat each other kindly and help out because there's an unconscious pressure of, wow, if I treat this old lady like shit, it's going to get back to my mom. It's going to get back to my boss. It's going to get back to everybody. But like you get to a big city, nothing getting back to nobody. So like, oh, sucks that you're suffering. Ah, well. Almost, but maybe that's too cynical. It's to the point where having spent some time, like when I was out in the Bay Area, you can't help everybody because then all of a sudden you're overwhelmed and you have no resources anymore. You're taken advantage of. And then you don't help yourself, right? Because you're trying to help everybody, right? Like a lot of times in the big city, that's where I came across like, dude, I want to give you some change for food. But if I literally have been stopped by 20 people and I don't have any change anymore. And now I'm not eating lunch.
Yeah.
Right.
Like,
yeah. I mean, you got to set healthy boundaries and you got to learn how to say no. And that is not easy.
That's what we all need.
It would have saved Rome too.
Thankfully,
right?
Thankfully, most people don't want
to the country
because they would fucking ruin it if they all moved out here.
What's that?
They can stay there.
Rome.
They can stay there.
No, all the New York City people moved to Montana. Whoa. You
don't want that.
You don't want your population swelling to 60,000 from 600.
Right. Trust me. Bos Angeles is about 98 miles that way. Oh it can God, stay
I
there.
Said, I think it's
Bos Angeles.
Yeah, Bozeman, Montana. The Los Angeles of Montana. Yeah, Bozeman. Bos Angeles.
All right, fellas. We're getting close to the hour mark. I think we made an episode here, and I think we actually had a nice ending point there with a nice altruistic message. So I don't know what you guys think, but maybe we should wrap this thing up.
Community, man. It's awesome.
I got another hour in me.
I'm sad to see Vonta shifting into its next phase, but I love the community that you guys have built. I really appreciate it.
The community's not going anywhere. I think that's the
I know it's
takeaway.
Not. Hey, that's the cool part.
Yeah.
I respect you guys so much for being able to like acknowledge, oh shit, this is where we're at. God, we have to turn off this subscription thing. Like being able to recognize that, to me just shows your integrity and why you should be trusted and why you can be trusted. Like seriously, Baba, seriously. Your microphone's off, man.
That's because I was clicking around. I'm sorry. What I was saying is, well, I appreciate that, you know, because I think all the sparkly stuff is what really kind of gets a lot of people's attention. And Like, yeah, I just I can't function like that. Like, I'm too normal of a person.
The stuff you have to share to get people to interested is the stuff that's not helpful for their development.
And it's just going to draw the wrong people anyways.
Yeah, to be fair, not all people. And I don't want to wholesale indict everyone who, you know, whatever. It's like, I get it. Like, it's just for us and for me, this was a fun journey. I take a lot of positives away, met cool people, helped folks, I hope. And I'm still around and we're still going to trade and we're still going to be in the room, but it's going to have a different vibe because it's not going to be, there's not going to be this giant commitment, which is going to free me up. The other thing that, like, I messaged Flaherty and told him about this, and he was like, oh man, I hate that because you guys are freaking unbelievable. And I was like, well, dude, I mean, that means, like, I appreciate that. Like, because I hope that the time spent wasn't wasted, you know? Yeah. But to your point, Dan, I appreciate you saying those kind things because, I mean, like, I guess I could sell my soul and turn into one of those type of people, but like, I mean, that any the thing is, like, how weird would that be? Because everyone that knows me, they know who I am and what I'm like. Like, and so how could I go be something completely different like that? You know,
the dude just told us that hurricane story is not the same dude who's going to be shilling.
Like, buy my crypto coin.
Listen, let me show you 500% gains every day. If you're not hitting 500, you're a loser and you need to die. Come join my fucking subscription service.
You could do some commercials for me, actually. We're going to boot it back up. I think you nailed it.
Can I make a short out of that?
Please do. It's all you. It's all you, buddy.
I'll send it to you.
I signed the waiver at the beginning of the podcast. Yep.
Well, you know, every subscription comes with a Lamborghini. I need unicorn.
Of course.
You'd see little Joe for
shipping and handling applied.
You just got to bring your own car and whatever else. And she'll wave her wand and switch it for you.
That's right. Yeah. You never know. She's magical. Ask her. But she'll
tell you. We'll send you a box of crayons.
Yeah.
That's right.
Just supply your own paper.
All right, folks. I think that's going to do it for today's episode. So please join me in thanking Baba Yaga, Bear Goes Long, and Captain Dan for joining us tonight. Please do that by clicking on any of the links in the show notes. You can subscribe to Half Cocktails, help Dan get that thing launched again. And you can also email me guest suggestions at chinashopproductions@gmail.com. We'll be back soon with another exciting episode. But till that day, like, share, subscribe, all the things, and have a green week.
Woohoo!
It's on, the biggest Maytag sale of the year at Lowe's. Buy two select laundry appliances and get up to a $100 bonus via instant rebate. Shop all things Maytag, including the new stackable Pet Pro laundry system that removes pet hair from clothes. Lowe's, we help, you save. Offer valid through 531. See store for pricing and offer details. Advertise savings on all major Maytag appliances through Maytag.com and participating retailers. Prices may vary. Additional terms and conditions apply.
This podcast is intended for informational and educational purposes only, does not constitute financial or investment advice, and should not be construed as such. The hosts, guests, and contributors of this podcast are not licensed financial advisors, brokers, or professionals. Any trading or investment decisions made based on the content of this podcast are solely at the listener's discretion and risk. Trading and investing in financial markets carry inherent risks, and past performance is not indicative of future results. Listeners should conduct their own research and seek advice from qualified financial professionals before making any financial decisions. The views, opinions, and information shared in this podcast are those of the individual contributors and do not necessarily reflect the views or policies of the podcast creators or associated organizations.
Produced by China Shop Productions.